Ramsey TV.
From the edge of the bottom of everything, this is Martin Zender, and welcome to another broadcast week. This is MZ TV. I am MZ, Martin Zender. That's what that stands for. I got new subscribers, new listeners every week. It's amazing. I don't know how it happens. It's a God thing, I guess. So just to make sure everybody knows what that MZ stands for. It's not like the Christian God said Mazel Tov. No, forget that. I have a couple announcements to make. First, I want to finish Philippians. That's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go to the end of Philippians chapter 3 of how Paul speaks of our realm, being inherent in the heavens. Very important verse. There are several places in Scripture where celestial is used as an adjective. For instance, even in Hebrews, it talks about a celestial calling. And we know that the kingdom Jesus spoke of was of the heavens. It was heavenly in character, but its location was on earth. Only Paul do you read of among the celestials. Ephesians 2:6. Among the celestials. That is the realm far, far above the earth. And here Paul talks about where our realm is inherent. And it is not on the earth. That's good news for those of you who are tired of the earth. As many people, they're not tired of the earth. Even some who have graduated to Paul's calling, they can't stand the fact that they're not going to be on the earth. They don't know anything about heaven. I guess they're a little bit scared, so they want to stay secure and firm here on old terra firma. But I don't believe that's your disposition. Sure as hell isn't mine. Looking forward to stopping in once in a while on the millennial earth. That'll be nice, but I'm just passing through. Just passing through. If you didn't see yesterday's video, the Rodney Parris, Martin Zender classic, you have to watch this video. And this is the one to send to your friends who are looking into this kind of thing on the topic of eternal torments. In 1999, the summer thereof, five other people and myself bought some radio time at the largest Christian radio station in Cleveland, Ohio, WCCD, 1000 AM on your dial, and we blew the place up. We decided to dedicate 1 week to the topic of eternal torment. And what you heard yesterday, and what you will hear, it's linked below. If you haven't heard it, please listen to it. And now you can watch it because of Rodney Parris. I sent him the cassette tapes from these radio programs. They were in a storage unit in Canton, Ohio for 15 years. And nobody has cassette players anymore. So Rodney knew about these tapes, and he volunteered, said, Martin, send me all the tapes. And altogether, between my conference talks from 1994 through 2001, probably 150 tapes, maybe 200, including the radio program. They were just languishing. Now they're alive and well. Truth is timeless. And we hit it hard. This broadcast, I hadn't heard it in a long time. I listened to it with mouth agape. I was like, wow. I mean, it is hard hitting. It is bold. It's a little bit scary what we're doing. I mean, you can just feel the tension in the room. Our broadcast engineer, Ricardo Johnson, he didn't know what to do. The guy, what we were saying on the air, live, that's the thing, live in Cleveland, Ohio, went completely over his head. God bless the man, but this whole, I haven't heard the next broadcast, but I'm really looking forward to hearing that. But this is a hard-hitting video slash audio. And the reason you need to send this to your friends is that it's on the radio. See, this gives it legitimacy. It's not like you're sending them one of my videos where I'm in my car. I've heard some people say, why should I listen to him? He's in his car. As good a pulpit as any. But no, we're on a Christian radio station. So it gives it legitimacy in the minds and the eyes of some people. And for that reason, it's a powerful presentation. And you can hear our introduction. You hear the radio music. You hear a little bit of the commercials. It's just, it's prime. Please, it's linked below. Watch it. Link it. Go to your social media thing. I don't do any social media. I hate social media. But many of you are plugged in, just copy and paste it. Please do it now. Copy and paste and bring someone the evangel of the grace of God via a sober, spiritual, logical, and scriptural explanation of the salvation of all. And we confront in this week, I mean, I remember the week. I can't remember what happened on what show, but we take up all the objections. The rich man and Lazarus. The judgment of the nations in Matthew 25. The Greek word ion. The three different Greek words, Hades, Tartarus, and Gehenna, translated by the single English word in the King James Version, hell. We talk about all this stuff, but this is the introduction. It's important, please. Copy and paste. That's all you got to do. Help somebody get it. Because I think everybody in the world, you might think this is a crazy statement. I don't think you will. It's my opinion that there's hardly a man, woman, or child on this earth who has not heard of the God of eternal torment. And they think that the Christian God is that. That's what they think. And many people are driven from God because they think God is associated with the Christian religion. And he's not. He's not in the Christian religion. Jesus Christ is not a member of the religion that claims his name. But they take his name in vain. Yes, they do. Taking the Lord's name in vain has nothing to do with saying God damn or Jesus Christ. I can say it easily because God isn't offended by it. Anytime I say Jesus Christ, I'm calling upon the Savior. Jesus Christ is hot today. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. And then God damns stuff. It's just a negative judgment. A damning is a negative judgment. So they take his name in vain. In vain means for futility. It's worthless. And this is proven when Jesus says in Matthew, many will say to me in that day, did we not do this in your name? There it is right there. Didn't we do marvelous works in your name? The only people who can do things in his name are Christians. There's going to be a lot of people hearing this from the Lord Jesus Christ. But they are Christians in name only. They take the name of Christ for futility. That's a sin. And yet they're pointing a finger at us, accusing us of sins? No. All right, before I get back into Philippians, a sister of ours in the faith, her life is in danger. Literally, in the life of her son. It's Vanessa Gray. You see her commenting all the time on my videos. Sweet woman. Her name is Vanessa. You've seen her name. She lives in South Africa. 3 weeks ago, or maybe it was a month ago, she and her son were attacked by five thugs, one of whom worked for her, was her gardener. These are some of the natives, and the natives were restless. And one of them, I think it was her gardener, had been rummaging through her trash, and he found a paper that had the statement, R500,000. Rand is the currency of South Africa, the rand. So they saw that he saw this paper, and he thought that Vanessa in her house had R500,000. No, she didn't. It was just an accounting number. It was a projection or something. But anyway, him and four other barbarians broke through her gate, bound her and her son with plastic zip ties, bound her by the ankles, by the hands, thrust something into the stomach of her son. She thought her son was dead when this happened. Dragged her by her hair, bound with plastic zip ties into the house where they proceeded to throw her on the bed and beat her in the face repeatedly, telling her, tell us where the money is. I don't have the money. There's no half million rand here. Tell us where the money is. And at this time, one of them said, we'll make her tell us where the money is. They had her bound hand and foot. They cut off her hair, long, beautiful hair, cut it off, put glue in her hair and on her face. They said, we're going to make you show us where it is. The gardener, whom she trusted, she employed. A couple of these individuals had eaten at her board. She took care of them. And they completely turned on her. So the gardener held down her hands. And the largest member of the gang grabbed a knife and began cutting her fingers one by one. They tortured her. I'm going to show you the picture. It's graphic. I just want you to see this. But they cut her fingers one by one. From the picture, it looks like they're nearly severed. Good old-fashioned torture. Then someone pushed her son in. Before that, he had been pushed down the steps, and he dislocated his shoulder. They tied her and her son together, and one of the men pulled a knife, put it to Vanessa's throat and said, I will kill you. And these people aren't joking around. This is not your average, everyday home invasion. I will kill you if you don't tell us where the money is. And Vanessa was relaying this to me on the phone. And she said, Martin, it was incredible. I wasn't afraid to die. I looked at the gardener, the one who I trusted, whose hand turned against me. And I said, you can kill my body, but you cannot take God from inside of me. And when she said the word God in his native tongue, he stepped back. Not quite the effect that the Lord had when the soldiers fell down in front of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, but it had an effect on this one. And whether he was influential in saving her life and the life of her son, I don't know. They ransacked the house. She had some money in the drawer. She said, take that. I do not have a half million rand in this house. She didn't realize at the time what they had based that assumption on. They pulled out a paper from her trash. I'm going to show you a picture of her hand immediately following this incident. This is a sister in Christ. This happened 3 weeks ago. This is real. South Africa is in a state practically of anarchy. I believe the country is just inches away from going completely communist. But there's race wars, race riots. I hear the blacks don't like the whites too much there, to say the least, and this was an example of that. Vanessa is a British citizen, lived in South Africa for a long time, loves the country, but now she's scared to death. And she needs to get out. I'm going to show you the photo in 5 seconds. If anybody's squeamish, don't look. If you look, it's your fault. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is what the savages did to our sister in Christ. But she told me, Martin, don't know what came over me, but I was fearless. And not fearless. Of course, she was just in shock. But she was just, she was prepared to die. She was absolutely certain she was going to die. Because these people, they will cut off your arms, your legs. They will cut off your hand. They will boil you in water. They are known to go to house torturing people. And these are not nice people, okay? This is, it's like the SS of Nazi Germany, really. She had not done one wrong thing to them. In fact, just the opposite. She had taken care of them. So she needs to get out of the country with her son. She has a shotgun there. She says, Martin, my initial fear turned to pity for these people. Oh, so... By the way, I'm not promising to get every detail of the story right, but a couple more people of the same ilk came in, and she heard them talking among themselves. And suddenly it was quiet, and she heard her house sensor at the gate beep like 6 or 7 times, which told her that they had all filed out. They were out of the house. She told her son, don't move. They might come back. Don't move a muscle. They let 15 minutes go by, and it took them 20 minutes to extricate themselves from the bonds they were in. And the zip tie, the plastic zip tie, was so tight on Vanessa's hands that it couldn't be cut. Her son said, I'm going to have to dig into your skin to get this off. Vanessa said, do it. This is one tough lady. This is one tough lady. And she's a true blue member of the body of Christ. And I'm telling you this because she needs our help to get out of the country. So if anyone feels led by God in your heart to help her and her son leave South Africa, I'm putting her daughter's email address here. You can go to PayPal. You can go to paypal.com, put this email address in, and the funds will go to her daughter, who will then get the money to her. They went to live with her daughter for about a week, but then she said, I had to go back to my home. I couldn't let them scare me out of my own home. So now they have an alarm system rigged up, and they have a shotgun ready, but she needs to get the hell out of there. Her life is literally in danger, literally. She sent me a picture of her face, but she wouldn't want me to show that, and I don't want to show it. She was slapped, beaten in the face repeatedly. Her hair, like I said, was cut off. Smeared her with glue for whatever sick reason. Oh, and they tried to, then there was a saw in the house, and she heard the saw starting. She told them where there was a safe. And so they took the saw. She heard a saw starting up, and they were cutting the safe. And at that point, she was sure she was going to die, that they were going to come back and kill her with a freaking saw or cut off her hand completely or cut her head off. That's the kind of people we're talking about here. So if you would like to help our sister, please do. It's expensive to get out of the country. It's difficult to get out of the country. You know what's happening around the world. Evil regimes are stifling the freedom of the people. It's happening in our own, in my country, the United States, right now. So, there's that. At the end of Philippians chapter 3, the last I talked to you in the book of Philippians, Paul talks about those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, an enemy of the cross of Christ doesn't have to be people like these thugs. Obviously, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. But Paul says there are enemies of the cross. There are some walking. Paul says there are many walking, of whom I often told you, yet am now lamenting as I tell it, who are enemies of the cross of Christ. An enemy of the cross, as I've explained to you before, is someone who doesn't see the sufficiency of the cross. Christians are enemies of the cross. They don't realize it. But to them, the cross was not enough. It requires human contribution, human obedience. Added to it, the cross by itself did not save anyone. That's the Christian teaching. Standard issue Christian teaching. The cross of Christ did not save anyone. Of course, they'll never say that. They'll say Jesus is the Savior. And then when you start to crow and say, oh, great, I'm glad he's my Savior. Oh, no, wait, slow down. He's not your Savior yet. Well, I thought you told me he was my Savior. Well, in theory only. Yes, it's only in theory. Because then they demand that you cooperate with the Savior in the right way, say the right words, believe in the right way, make sure you believe sincerely, make sure you really mean it, make sure you have a good attitude, and then live the balance of your life in a joyful obedience to Jesus. Okay, wow, joyful obedience to Jesus. How the hell do I do that? Well, we don't have to worry about all that because we don't have to worry about anything, in fact, and Paul's going to get to that in Philippians 4:6, because we know that the cross was complete. And the Savior did a complete work, and he did save the world at the cross. We talked about that in yesterday's video at Grace Cafe Radio. Watch it again if you haven't seen it. Link it. Send it all around. But some are in it, so that's an enemy of the cross. An enemy of the cross, so subtle. It doesn't seem like it, but Paul says they're walking. In other words, they're in our midst. Well, in this, I think in the case we're looking at, maybe they call themselves, in our modern case, they call themselves Christians, but they're all, every one of them, enemies of the cross, whose God is their bowels. What do you mean their bowels? Large intestine, small intestine, it's a figure of speech. For the seat of their strength. That's their God is their, what they think is their inherent, innate ability to choose Jesus Christ, to make that holy decision to accept Jesus. And that's what saves them. Not the cross, their contribution to the cross. That's an enemy of the cross. Many are walking. Paul lamented to tell it. And I lament to tell it. But that's the way it is. And that's what I announce, sharing the words of Paul, whose glory is in their shame, who to the terrestrial are disposed. The terrestrial. They're disposed to things of the earth, to earthly advantage. They talk about heaven, but in reality, they're disposed to the flesh, to the supposed ability of the flesh to overcome an ironclad decree that no one is seeking out God, no, not one. There's no one righteous, no, not one. Well, see, Christians actually believe they're the exception to that. They think they're the exception. No one is righteous, no, not one. Well, except for me, when I choose Christ, then obviously I'm righteous. They actually think they're righteous. They actually think. The Romans 3, 10 and 11 does not apply to them. It's scary. They're deceived. You try to tell them that, and well, if crucifixion was legal, Paul says this in verse 20 of chapter 3, for our realm, this is the opposite of everything I've just been talking about. Our realm now, let's talk about our realm. Our realm is inherent in the heavens. Oh yeah, up there, far, far away from the earth, out of which we are awaiting a Savior also, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transfigure the body of our humiliation to conform it to the body of his glory in accord with the operation which enables him even to subject all to himself. Now see, I did the same thing I did the last time I talked to you about the book of Philippians. I have to leave this for tomorrow because there's so much I want to say just in this last passage. But I had a lot of announcements there. I wanted to tell you about Vanessa. I wanted to tell you about yesterday's video. And, oh, I am going to talk about the preexistence of Christ. Christ did preexist. Hello? One of our brothers, Jason, says, no, he didn't preexist. Jesus Christ did not exist. There wasn't any such thing as the Son of God until he popped out of his mommy's belly in Bethlehem. Well, that's wrong. I can show you where his critical mistake is. And I think when he sees it, he'll say, oh, I didn't realize that. Well, okay, just undo it. Undo it. Like I say, any of us are susceptible to making mistakes. We have to check up on each other, okay? With all patience and teaching. So I'm being patient. I didn't jump on this right away. People want me to. And Martin, when are you going to talk about the preexistence of Christ? It's going around. People are starting to believe it. I'm going to get to it. Don't worry. And I'm going to go through my three newsletters that refute Aaron Welch's lengthy article explaining away simple verses. Okay, I will do that. But I need a sense of completion here with Philippians. Okay, so I'm going to do that. And what else am I going to do? Gosh, I don't know. That kind of sounds like enough.